Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. There's only like 94 days left until the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. It's going to be a little rainy today, a little sunny, more sun on the leeward side than on the windward side. What are those winds doing to us today? They're blowing just about 15 to 20 miles per hour. The high, 87. The low, well, hopefully we'll get down to 69 because it's such nice sleeping weather. Welcome into the clubhouse. This is the Golf Club, and we're on the radio. We're streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii. We're also podcast at radiogolfclub.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We've got a great show. We've got Diana DeLucia, president and editor and founder of Golf Kitchen. Gianna Rojas, the one-handed lady golfer, adaptivegolfer.com. That's where you can find her. Alex Urban, executive director, Century Tournament of Champions. Jim Sweeter, now general manager, Kapolei Golf Club, home of the 2022 LPGA Lotte Championship. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC and Golf Channel, just back from Ryder Cup. Yes, we're going to have a great time. If you'd like to have a great time today, get out and play. There's a 10-10 at Makalei. Poipu has an 11-50. Roho Wine Country Club has a nice 832. Bayview has a 840. Makaha East has a 948. Wailea on the gold course, a 9. Emerald, 1250. And they've aerated the blue, so $40 for Kama'aina. And there's an 830 and a 950. We're going to get right into it with Mark Rolfing after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24-7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring him right in. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, or as they say now, On Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me. And after almost 3 weeks in Wisconsin, I was ready to come back to the island.
Was it cold?
No, you know, it was nice fall weather. Wisconsin can be pretty gnarly late September a lot of times, but everything about the Ryder Cup was spectacular, and one of the elements that was fabulous was the weather. It was great.
Oh, awesome. I just saw all these people in there, you know, with gloves on in the morning. The morning hours must have been a little bit chilly, but 19-9, that was an incredible score. Not the first time we've had that kind of a blowout, but this was a record maker, wasn't it?
It was. The U.S. clearly was dominant. There's no doubt they were the better team. Their captain, Steve Stricker, totally out-captained Padraig Harrington, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, 19-9 wasn't quite reflective in how close a lot of those matches were. That's what the final tally said. But there was a lot of close matches, and I don't think anybody has to worry about the Ryder Cup becoming a totally American-dominated scene where it's no fun anymore.
You know, but they probably could use a whole bunch of Will Zalatorises coming up in the ranks, right?
Well, you know, the U.S. went young, as you saw. Watching that team was like watching a college team, particularly at the closing press conference and the celebration after. They look like a bunch of college kids because effectively they are. I'm way more concerned about Europe right now than I am the U.S. This team that we saw at Whistling Straits is going to be the core of the next three or four Ryder Cup teams for the U.S. But Europe is getting pretty old. And I don't think you'll see Lee Westwood again in the Ryder Cup. You'll see him as a captain for sure. I'm not sure Poulter will play another one. And who knows about Garcia. So they've got to find some young talent, and their cupboard is pretty bare right now.
It is. But, you know, I also wanted to, the 13th man was missing for the Europeans. Did you think that had anything to do with the lopsided scoring?
I think it had a huge impact. The Americans just played with so much energy. You know, they were bounding around and bouncing and high-fiving and hugging, and they just had a tremendous amount of energy that I didn't see there with the Europe team. So definitely not having European fans hurt their team.
Yeah. I love when you were talking about I was really upset that I couldn't cheer for the Europeans. I felt bad. It was like, somebody get out there and scream, you know, ole, ole, ole. We got to get them going, fired up. But when you were talking about the celebration afterward, it was great. What did Justin Thomas call Dustin Johnson Grandpa? He was, it was, you know, I mean, because somebody asked, who was the, the emotion leader? And Justin Thomas said it was Dustin Johnson, and Grandpa, because he's 37. It was really amazing to see how Dustin Johnson so quietly went 5-0-0.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the really brilliant things that Steve Stricker did. I thought pairing him with Colin Morikawa. At the age of 37, I think sometimes now it takes a little bit to motivate Dustin Johnson. He's not an animated guy anyway, but the pairing was just absolutely brilliant, and Morikawa made Dustin young again. I really thought that was a huge impact on Dustin, and he gave him absolutely the right partner. They were an incredible team.
They were, yeah, 3-0-0 together. Thomas was on fire. He said something to effect, poor guy, he went out there, tried to get 6 points, but all he could do was get five.
Yeah, we saw the real Justin Thomas come out. You know, he's kind of a prankster. I guess in college he was always playing tricks on his teammates and doing all kinds of stuff. And the two guys that I thought their personalities really came out were Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele. I don't think Xander Schauffele has taken that cigar out of his mouth in a week. I saw a picture of him yesterday, and he still got that cigar in his mouth. I didn't realize he had that side to him. It was great seeing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just to wrap up, Thomas, he said, Justin Thomas said, he's our leader. You know, speaking of Dustin Johnson, we're following Grandpa into the abyss. What a kid.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you one thing. We need Grandpa to win a tournament here in the next couple of months so he gets to Kapalua. I can't imagine a Century Tournament of Champions without Dustin Johnson. He's probably going to have two shots at it, but we should be rooting for him to win. It's going to be an incredible field in January, but the one guy we're missing right now is DJ.
Yeah, it's true. We are missing DJ. I hadn't even thought about that when I look at the list of... I'll be talking with Alex Urban, as you know, in a little while. Xander Schauffele, he also said, and I love this because the media went over to him, goes, you know, if he's worried about playing in Europe, and he said, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but we're just going to enjoy now. You're thinking way too far ahead. Can you imagine being in the midst of celebrating? You've just taken the cup back home. It's 19-9, and somebody says, hey, are you worried about the, you know, how you're going to play in Italy? No!
You know, I don't know where the questions were coming from in those press conferences. I thought a lot of them were really stupid, particularly ahead of the Ryder Cup. There must have been a guy writing a story about Ian Poulter, because he asked every single player that came up there about Ian Poulter, including Xander Schauffele. He never asked them about themselves. It was just all Ian Poulter. I wondered how they were kind of monitoring those press conferences.
Where was Ian Poulter? I didn't see him. I mean, the Ian Poulter from all the Ryder Cups in the past, the bulging eyes, the guy on fire on the green.
Well, you know, like I said before, I thought Stricker out-captained Harrington big time. Poulter was not playing well coming in. He was the ball striking stats. He was worst of all 24 players that were out there. I thought it was an absolutely terrible pairing to put him with Rory McIlroy. That was a huge mistake by Harrington. First of all, Poulter should not have been playing alternate shot. He should have been playing best ball only in the team matches. But to put him out with Rory, who is very fragile with his game right now, I thought really didn't give McIlroy a chance. I thought Europe's only chance, Danielle, was to have a couple blockbuster teams. They had one, and that was Garcia and Rahm. They were a phenomenal team. But Victor Hovland, who didn't win a match, I believe should have been out there with McIlroy. If they'd have had that team as their second sort of anchor team, I think you would have had a different result. Poulter was a terrible match for McIlroy.
Yeah, well, they all were struggling except for that, you know, Rahm, Garcia. They were amazing together and did a fantastic job. And so I really wasn't joking when I said, you know, Europe needs a bunch of Will Zalatorises, young guys coming up, doing really well. What do they do now? How do they fire up the youth to get into the game and become really as good and as dedicated? I don't know what I'm talking about because I've not met any of the European players. I've not been around them enough to know. But is there a group that you see coming from the European squad?
Well, it's a very small group. I'll tell you the problem that I see, Danielle, is their qualifying point system. They have got to change that because right now most of the Europeans play in America. That's how you get better. And they can't have a point system that's so heavily weighted toward playing in Europe. They're not going to get their best players. Mm. The other mistake Harrington made was he had four captain's picks a year ago. Stricker had six, so Stricker already had more than him. Harrington gave one captain's pick back, which was absolutely stupid. I don't know why you would ever do that. He needs more flexibility to pick who is playing the best right now. And I think there's going to be a couple of key guys. There's an Italian kid by the name of Guido Migliozzi, who played it very well in the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. I think he finished fifth there. Can you imagine a Ryder Cup in Italy without that kid being on it? He's Italian. Now, with the point system the way they've got, and as much as he's going to play in America, he may not qualify for that Ryder Cup team. The captain of Europe has got to have a lot of flexibility. Migliozzi has to be on that team. That was like Stricker being from Wisconsin. You know, the guy that I think is the one they're really looking at is this Robert McIntyre. He's a young Scotsman. I think he's ranked 47th in the world, maybe. He's a left-hander. He's really good. But there's not much right now that I see other than that.
Wow. Well, at least there's something, you know, something coming on, and who knows. Now, Bryson DeChambeau was really good. I mean, we were hearing stories about Bryson and Brooks hugging it out and all this stuff. But I thought he handled himself well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he handled himself fabulously. It was a big week. I think it might have been a turning point for Bryson because, as you know, the American golf fans have been giving him a hard time the last few months and calling him Brooksy and taunting him. And even before the Koepka feud, DeChambeau was not that popular a guy, but the Wisconsin golf fans fell in love with him. I thought he acted great. His presence was, you know, incredible. Driving that first green, you know, on Sunday morning and then making an eagle putt, it was just amazing. It was a huge week for DeChambeau, really, I think, in a lot of ways. Even though he has won the U.S. Open, I think the Ryder Cup was his coming out party.
Yeah, I got that sense as well. And then, if you don't mind, he just jumps over. He's, you know, we're all going like, oh, seriously? You're going to do long drive now? I mean, get a grip. Well, apparently he does have a very good grip. And he goes,
yeah,
right?
You tell me what makes the guy tick. I don't know. That to spend a week trying to hit golf balls as hard as you can and beat guys that you can't beat. I thought he did pretty well to finish in the top eight, but there was no way he was going to go down there and compete. It was a great performance. I don't think he was ever going to win that thing, but I'm just wondering what he's trying to accomplish there.
Figuring out how to go longer. You know, he said he wants to get heavier, get bulkier, you know, because there's some big monsters out here. Speaking of the long drive guys, you know, how great they are and big they are, strong. He wants to get bigger. That's one of the comments he made. You know, I just see that he really likes, as one person put it, I'm sorry, I don't know, watching golf. And I wish they hadn't cut away right as it was so strange. We were actually, as an audience, I could feel it. We were getting into watching long drive, thinking, this is nuts. I'm watching long drive like this is important. But seeing Bryson pick up the pace, he couldn't be a slow golfer. You can't be. You've got, like, I don't know, 2 minutes and something to hit five balls, and some of them go out of bounds, so you've really got to work at it. And then just watching him work and compete, he wants to get longer, he wants to get stronger. I don't know where he's going to go with that. Why would you want to get longer and stronger and just go straighter?
I don't know. You know, my fear is if he spends too much time concentrating on that, you know, where's his short game going to go? Everybody talks about his U.S. Open win, Danielle, and they say that he bludgeoned Wingfoot to death and he won it because he was hitting the long drives and the bombs. That was not the case at all. If you really deep dive into the stats, you will see that Bryson DeChambeau won that U.S. Open with his chipping and his putting. And I just think that he could be headed down, you know, a pretty dark tunnel on this long drive thing if he takes it too seriously. This is not going to help his overall game.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you completely. It was very odd. But, you know, he gets to ride the adrenaline. That is what long drive is about.
But I would think he'll get a bigger rush if he ever wins the Masters than he would have winning the World Long Drive Championship.
This is true, but the comment that was made was, and I've got a little something in my throat, so I'm trying to control it. The comment that was made is, in playing golf, you have to control the adrenaline. You can't use it because, you know, it just throws you out. You've got to contain yourself. In long drive, you get to explode that adrenaline. So I thought that was an interesting insight into why.
Well, yeah, that's a very true thing, but it's very dangerous when you think about it, because if you get your adrenaline going at the Masters and you hit a 9-iron over the green on the par 3 12th hole, you're going to lose the tournament with that one shot. And so, yes, adrenaline rushes, you know, at the highest level of championship golf are not a good thing.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Justin Thomas, speaking of Justin, changing caddies. I mean, and Bones is going to leave broadcasting, go back and carry a, 60-pound bag?
Hey, Danielle, it shows you how much those caddies make, because Bones was getting paid a lot of money at NBC, but I have not talked to him. I'm sure I will in the next few days to get the download on it, but I can tell you he's going to make a lot more caddying for Justin Thomas than he did announcing golf for NBC.
Yeah, okay. Well, he had a great play. Jimmy Johnson was on his bag, but I guess they connected. Jim McCabe connected, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Jimmy's had some health issues the last couple of years. He's been doing this for a long time. He's got a lot of things he likes to do besides caddying, and maybe it was just time. You know, these relationships are so fiery between the caddies and the players that five or 6 years is a long time for a player-caddy relationship these days.
Good. Well, any final thoughts? You said in a one comment, this was the most exciting experience you've had in golf ever?
I think so. I've told you before that, you know, the Ryder Cup is not the most important tournament, but it's the most compelling. And now we heard Rory McIlroy. You know, I'll never forget that interview after his match on Sunday with tears streaming down his eyes. He said, this is the greatest event in golf. It has so changed over my career, and I think he's right. Dustin Johnson said it too. It's his favorite tournament to play in. I think the Ryder Cup is becoming the greatest event in golf.
Yeah. Well, I loved watching it because our team, our U.S. team, finally looked like a team that liked each other, enjoyed playing together, and wanted to give it their all. There was no one looking lost. They all were just having a great time. And that was so nice to see. It was just wonderful. Did I leave anything out?
I agree. I think it's a good statement for all of us, because it really showed me there's something greater in this life than just our individual selves. And I think that point really came across. They played like a team, they acted like a team, and that's why they won.
Awesome. Oh, it's always great talking with you. Anything you wanted to add that I didn't give you a chance to?
Yeah, keep up the good work, Danielle, and we'll talk again at the Sports Century Tournament.
I'm looking forward to it. You tell me the date, and we're together, okay?
You got it. Take care.
Aloha. Yeah, we've got Jim Sweeter. You know, Jim Sweeter is such a great guy. Every time I covered Jenny Kay or the Mid-Pacific Open at, you know, Mid-Pacific Country Club, he would let me take over his office, and I'd set up all my equipment, and I'd have everybody coming in, and it was such a cool thing to do. And now he's moved over to Kapolei. We're going to talk with him after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
On the Road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
At Pearl Country Club in Aiea, they're hosting the second annual U.S. Kids Golf Hawaii State Invitational. It's a state invitational offering players from Hawaii the opportunity to compete in a multi-day championship event, qualify for U.S. Kids Golf priority status by earning different levels of priority status. The players qualify for other U.S. Kids Golf multi-day events, including the regional, international, World Teen Championships. The state invitational is for kids 5 to 14. So 5 years old, all the way up to 14. And you know, the last time I talked to somebody about all things golf, you got to start young. If you start young, you've got a really good chance. So if you want to get your kids involved, get them involved. Get First Tee and then Hawaii State Junior Golf Association or U.S. Kids. Do it. And thank you, Oliver Olaquiano. He is the man putting this all together. Amazing. Oliver at islandpacificgolf.com.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Jim Sweeter, General Manager, Kapolei Golf Club, home of the 2022 LPGA Lotte Championship. You are amazing, Jim. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's good to have you. I mean, I didn't realize in all the time we've talked, you have a degree in education. You're a member of the University of Northern Iowa School's wrestling team. You were. You completed the Executive Business Management Program, Hawaii State Fellowship of Christian Athletes board member and development team member, co-founded Zoom Sports, a comprehensive sports medicine business. Now you're going to oversee the golf operations, agronomy, sales, marketing, food and beverage, and facilities maintenance operations for Kapolei, an award-winning golf course. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's great to be up there. It's a great team. We're blessed to have the people, you know, on the ground there that are really running the show. I'm just, you know, I guess my educational background taught me to be smart enough to surround yourself with people smarter and better than yourself and you know, let them do what they're good at doing.
Yeah, and this is a Troon course now. Have they plans for when we talk about agronomy, let's say? I was talking to somebody about the Mac 1, these new grasses that are coming out. Any plans for Capelle on that level?
Not really. I think, you know, Bill, who's been there for, I think, eight, nine years, you know, he's got that turf pretty mastered. Last year when they kind of got the ball dropped on him at the last minute to pick up the Lotte, he did an unbelievable job to get the course ready. So now we've got a little bit more preparation and planning can kind of, I think, even do a better job going forward. So, you know, some of these guys, these superintendents, are like mad scientists because they understand the turf practice side of it, but then with the water and you know, up there we've got effluent water and we've got brackish water from the wells. So he's able to kind of even master and manipulate that based on how he wants the turf to respond. You know, so it's the first course I've been at that's got that Pascal turf. So I'm used to, you know, Bermuda and bent grass or poa on the mainland, and then mid pack was all Bermuda. So this is interesting to kind of learn more from him on how they manage this turf.
How is it different from Bermuda?
It's just, I think the way it, I mean, it's still a creeping type grass, but I think the way it lays, and you know, you can mow the fairways there without trying and you'll get kind of a striping effect. So
wow.
I think I'm still learning the difference, but it could be a little thatchier in the roughs and things. Cause I know recently the guests that have come and played, they've noticed that you get in the rough, it's a little tougher than you know, Bermuda. So,
yeah,
but, it's I'm like I said, I'm learning a lot from Bill, and he's, you know, and this is new to me on that type of turf, but I know it's popular with a lot of people on the island. So and in Florida too. So
yeah.
Because of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes. And we have to be careful. I mean, that's the big issue right now across the universe of planet Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Food and beverage. I'm just kind of like looking for what you want to do with, you know, putting your feelers out around the place?
Well, you know, it's COVID's kind of, you know, hindered a lot of things, but, I think, you know, learning more and more about Capelle and the history, you know, it was built to be a community type property. A few years ago, a little more than half of our rounds were tourist rounds. This year, it's about 95% resident and local rounds versus 5% tourist. A lot, again, has to do with the restrictions of tourism and visitors and stuff. But you know, I think we see a huge opportunity once we get back on our feet with the COVID restrictions being lifted, that it can really be a great venue for events. I mean, it's built that way, I think. And we do a substantial amount of restaurant business from the local community and with the golfers as well. But I think it's really positioned as a amazing place to have, you know, have weddings and class reunions and different golf events and things. So I think that's going to be our good niche, at least from a local perspective. And then when the Japanese tourists come back, you know, we've actually got a Japanese cook specific for that market. So they've been able to be nimble and kind of, you know, feature things that the different markets want. So
excellent.
So
yeah. you do banquets.
Yeah, it's a beautiful clubhouse, and it can do a lot of, you know, larger events. Or, you know, right before this recent restrictions, you know, we had several large wedding receptions there, and obviously we had to manage them according to the different COVID guidelines and things, but yeah, it's you know, it's all glass, beautiful views of the golf course. It's pretty open, so and then there's even a little gazebo that sits out over the lake close to the clubhouse that
Don't
you
worry.
Can have wedding receptions. I think.
Don't worry at all. We have many dogs visiting. We've had chickens visiting. So, you know, this is all part of it's a part of the getting to know you. What kind of a friend do you have?
We have two Australian shepherds. So
wow.
Which Bill, our superintendent, would like to have them on the golf course because a lot of courses will use them to keep the ducks and things in the water and they stay off the greens, so they get frustrated and they just fly away and go to another place. So.
Well, take them out there.
I know.
Give Bill a hand. Your dogs will love it. They'll have the time of their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay, so getting ready for LPGA, the Lotte Championship, when do preparations for something? I mean, you guys had to do it like in weeks, it seemed like. How does it all start?
Well, really, you know, once we kind of get the official green light, we'd really like to start, you know, marketing and branding things and getting merchandise in there ahead of time and really, I think, communicate it to the both the local and the tourism market that we're going to be hosting this, because I think everybody likes to play on a golf course that has a PGA or an LPGA event. I know in the past I've been fortunate to play Pinehurst number 2 after the U.S. Open in 99 and then played Whistling Straits prior to the PGA Championship quite a while ago. But, and then you can see these events on TV. You're like, hey, I played there. So I think that's the big thing. And then I think just staffing up, with first of the year, we can start, getting our grounds crew staffed up where they should be. We've been kind of limited for many reasons. I think because of the COVID situation where we've been understaffed. So I think our first thing is going to be making sure that we're staffed appropriately and then really start catching up on some of the normal practices. Cause it's kind of a process and you have to kind of embrace that and have the equipment, have the staffing to do that so that you're not kind of last minute. But it always still boils down to, I think that, those 6 weeks prior to the event. So, I think there's not a lot of input that the LPGA has, like maybe PGA events on conditions and things. So I think Bill likes that, and we like that. We can kind of, prepare the course how he thinks it should be. And I think based on that, last year it was well received, and they had nothing but compliments.
That's right.
But it's always like a lot of things, the behind this, on the surface it looks everything's fine, but behind the scenes there's chaos and you feel like you're 10 minutes from disaster type thing. So and I think weather's going to be a big thing too. I think that can have an impact on the course conditions as well. So I think if all things fall into place, it'll be, I think, even better condition than last year. So
well, I know I got to be an honorary observer when the PGA Tour Champions Pacific Links Championship was there.
Yeah,
and it's a beautiful golf course, and they love it. They loved it. The LPGA feedback was that Kapolei was fabulous to play, and they really enjoyed it. 2020, Kapolei was named one of the top courses you can play in Hawaii by Golf Week magazine. So it's recognized as a really, really comfortable place to go, place to play. It's, so often sold out when I'm looking for tee times. But now you don't call in, you go online, right, and make your reservations?
Yeah, you can still call in. But, that's the technology of tee time management and things is pretty remarkable. So I think we get about 70% of our golfers make their tee times online. So it's kind of neat. But we still have, I was in the golf shop yesterday and we still have had several people calling up to make times and stuff. So, I started back in the day where you had to walk into the golf shop and they had the tee sheet on a big paper tablet,
Was it stone? Did you have to like use a little?
Yeah, really.
Jim Sweeter, General Manager of Kapolei Golf Club. I can't wait to see you out there.
Yeah,
home of the
you're
20.
Always welcome.
Thank you very much. And of course, I won't take over your office, but I look forward to being there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But you're always welcome. Please come up. If you're in the neighborhood, just pop in and say hi.
I will do that. And we'll talk again on the show, okay?
Okay, Danielle. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Aloha. Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions at PGA Tour. He's going to be with us next. You know what? We have it's time to win. It's time to win. You can be listening anywhere. You know, priority mailboxes go anywhere at the same price. So it doesn't matter because I will ship. Tampa Pro Shop, thank you so much. You know, it's so cool having you guys supporting the golf club show. I mean, it means so much to me. It means so much to me that our advertisers are advertising because you take care of the radio station, you know, dues. So that, you know, we don't do this, we'd have to pay to play. So, thank you. So, anyway, it's time to win, all right? And the number is, if you're calling from a neighbor island, just add 808-545-1111. 808-545-1111. And, gee, just think, pretty soon we're going to have to do 808 no matter where we are, right? 808-545-1111. And all you've got to be is the ninth caller. But we only have one line. So if it's busy, call back. We're going to come back with Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions at PGA Tour.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com. Or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions at PGA Tour. Are you there?
Hey, how are you, Danielle?
Welcome into the clubhouse. I know it's really early for a Saturday morning, but it's really good having you. 94 days, 20 hours away.
You're always good about telling me the exact number of days until the tournament, and I appreciate that.
Like you don't know that you've got a whole bunch of stuff to do. But what a field. Not too shabby, huh?
Oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. It's, you know, you look at the guys that have qualified, and it's kind of the who's who of who's been playing well over the last, you know, year or so. You've got Colin Morikawa and John Rahm and obviously Spieth and Justin Thomas and, you know, just an incredible list of guys qualified. Rory McIlroy, a lot of the guys that you saw last week at Whistling Straits.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Hey, just say Ryder Cup.
Yep.
The Ryder Cup's coming to play. You know, it's an amazing group of guys from around the world. Some of the young guys and the, you know, Phil Mickelson has qualified.
Yeah.
You know, and it, because he won a major, he was so quiet during Ryder Cup. Tell me your impressions before we talk about Century Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, I thought the Ryder Cup was awesome. It was it was a lot of fun to watch the younger crop of Americans really gel and get along. A lot like people have talked about for years, the European team getting along and kind of all just enjoying being around each other. And I think it was really fun to see that. I mean, you had DJ was the oldest guy on the team. And I don't really think of him as the elder statesman. So yeah, I think Phil Mickelson probably played that role as the captain. But you're right, he was pretty quiet for the week.
He was.
I think all the captains were. I didn't really see much from some of the other assistants either. I think Davis Love III was one of them. I didn't see much of him, which I think is great because it was a little bit more player driven.
Exactly.
But it was a lot of fun to watch. It was cool. The competition was there, and even a couple of the European guys, the new guys like Shane Lowry, he was a lot of fun to watch. And I don't know, I was never comfortable with a U.S. win until they clinched it on Sunday.
Really? You just never knew, but they really did clinch it, didn't they? I mean, but it went to like 15, 16 holes before it was absolutely certain. So the Europeans didn't just lay down and die. We had to beat them.
Yep, exactly. And it was a couple of those holes to finish off those matches. Brooks Koepka almost made that hole in one to finish off his singles match. And I think Colin Morikawa hit an incredible shot in there too. It was just, everyone really rose to the occasion. I think we've seen the American team in the past maybe haven't played their best golf the week of the Ryder Cup. And last week they were all playing pretty darn well. Like even a Scotty Scheffler who took Rahm down on Sunday. Pretty good stuff.
Yes. So Colin Morikawa, Harris English, John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. I'm going down our list here. Mm-hmm. Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, Daniel Berger, Max Honma was one of the people a lot of people thought maybe a captain's pick, like Kevin Na.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Na.
Yeah.
Wow. He was phenomenal the last few weeks of the season. He was really working hard to get a captain's pick.
Yeah, I think at some point we'll see Kevin on one of those teams, whether it's a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup.
Yeah. Really, really
some
great.
Point, yeah.
Really great field. So I'm looking at all the different offerings that you have that, people can really make themselves very comfortable with these grounds ticket options. Not only those, but the hospitality options. Let's go straight into hospitality options, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, golf tournaments are always, there's so many different ways to experience them, from a grounds ticket, like what you just talked about. But on the hospitality side, you know, we've got something for, you know, an upgraded grounds ticket, which is our Banyan Club, and that's not a huge upcharge or anything like that. We've got a new experience in the clubhouse we're calling the Lanai, which is built off the side of the clubhouse, give you a really nice view of the 18th green. Our Aloha Club has been around for a few years, and that'll return on the 18th hole, really nice views. And then we've got this kind of ultra high-end experience this year on the 11th tee, but we'll also provide access to all the other venues on the course that we're calling the Lookout. So there's just really something for everyone there. And then also we have our honorary observer spots where you can walk inside the ropes with a player. It's kind of like our courtside seat in golf. So it's a lot of fun. It's my mom actually bought one for my dad for his birthday a couple of years ago, and he still talks about it.
That is so cool. Now, if mom were to buy dad the Lookout, the ultimate package, and fully experiencing the Century Tournament of Champions, limited tickets for the Lookout are available. 10,000 for two, 18,000 for four. You know,
yes.
Dad would be talking about that for a long time.
Yeah. I think that one's probably less likely to be a gift. But, it's funny. It's one of those things. I have a pretty long history of working in golf tournaments. And about 5 or 6 years ago at the Players Championship in Jacksonville, which is kind of the PGA Tour's flagship event that we put on, we developed this ticket called the Players Club. And the goal of it was basically just the ultimate experience at a golf tournament. What's the very best way to experience an event in terms of hospitality and food and views of golf? And it was a huge hit, and it was definitely in that similar price range. And so we've seen our other events adopting that because there's an appetite for those just cream of the crop experiences that you can't get anywhere else. And so that was really the thinking behind the lookout for us. So we've got something that's commensurate with those other events now.
Yeah, it's great because this is money raised for charity.
Exactly. So, you know, it's completely, and you transitioned really nicely, and you know, we're really proud of the charitable work that we do each year. And even in a tough year last year, we were able to give more than $500,000 from the tournament, and then our title sponsor actually gave about $475,000 in addition to what the tournament raised. So we were actually right at the $1 million mark in 2020.
Century's phenomenal.
Okay. 2021 tournament. Yeah, they're just unbelievable. And it's not every title sponsor would look at a pandemic and think, wow, how can we give more money during this crisis, national crisis? And that's exactly where they thought. And you just have to remember, this is a company that they don't even have huge business interests here. I mean, they have the tournament, but they just really very seriously take their responsibility of supporting this community. And, you know, we're really proud and really lucky to have them as a title.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We absolutely are, because they treat us like family.
They do.
Yeah. Now, let's go into the Aloha Club. This is the exclusive venue on the 18th hole of the Plantation course. And, of course, you've got incredible views of the green, which we're all waiting for them to come down. How long is the 18th now? Is it 560 or is it longer?
I think it's longer. I don't know the exact yardage, but I believe that it is once again the longest par 5 on the PGA Tour, the longest hole on the PGA Tour.
Yes.
Because we were beaten for a little while by the hole at Firestone. I think it was 16 at Firestone, that big par 5 down the hill that they used to play the WGC at.
Yes.
Before they transitioned to that one. But now that tournament or that course is no longer on the schedule, I think we've got the record again.
Wow.
We've got the longest hole on tour, and I believe that the 14th green at the Plantation course is the smallest green square footage-wise on the PGA Tour.
That's hard to believe given how big those greens are on the Plantation course.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
Wow.
It's a very cool, that's one of my favorite fun facts, actually, from the course.
Do you know we have one of the smallest, we have the smallest green on the
beach? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the 18th hole of the Plantation course, providing incredible views of the green, an exclusive food and beverage experience, preferred parking for all ticket purchasers. That's big. I bet the one that goes for 18 grand probably has some pretty good parking options too.
It does. Yeah, yes, yeah. Correct.
Okay. And this covered venue features extensive drink rail and seating to enjoy the winners watching. So this is new. You can purchase a reserve table that can be branded with your company logo, have a guaranteed seat for all 4 days during this whole tournament, and the Aloha Club tickets are available for $1,250. That is
correct. Yep.
Yes.
Sorry.
No problem.
It's a fantastic offering, and that's kind of our bread and butter hospitality experience. When you think about a PGA Tour event hospitality, the Aloha Club is kind of that experience. So you're going to have great views of golf. You're going to have a nice experience. It's under the shade and under the cover.
Yes.
We do have those reserved tables this year, which those are really cool. That's another thing that I learned from another tournament. I'll say that instead of, you know, just stole their idea from the Players' Championship.
I learned.
But they're just great seats. And so we want to put on the best show we can for people. And that was where we netted out. So Aloha Club is always a great experience.
Yeah. And this, you know, and we got to go here, the Lanai.
That's right by the clubhouse. Yeah. So that was what I was kind of talking about a little bit. Where,
yes.
It's our kind of our clubhouse experience.
Right. It's a brand new experience, reimagining the clubhouse experience at the Century Tournament of Champions to make it an oasis for fans on site. The Lanai at the clubhouse tickets, now they start for $150 for Thursday and Friday, and $160 for Saturday, and $180 for Sunday. Now that is cool. And so does that come with food and beverage, that price?
So that's food and beverage for purchase on that ticket. But it's from the Plantation House, that, you know, that great restaurant
yes.
there at the clubhouse.
Yes.
We love working with them. And like I said, great views of golf, some seating and drink rail, all that fun stuff. So it should be a really great venue. That's one of our biggest focuses. So every time we do something new, we want to make sure we knock it out of the park.
Awesome.
This year, so,
okay.
Yeah.
So those are the real, you know, hospitality
yeah.
options. But then for the grounds ticket options, the daily mm-hmm. tickets are going for, tell us about what we can get.
Yeah, so we're always open Wednesday through Sunday. So Wednesday, the Pro-Am day, is always our most cost-effective day. And then, grounds tickets range between $40 and $50 usually per day. And what's great is that, you know, for health and safety, obviously we still have that on our minds, and we're working closely with the county on that. But the nice thing about our course is that it's so big and it's outdoors, and with a grounds ticket, you can go out there and see any of the beautiful views and see our entire field of incredible players. And the beauty of a golf tournament is that the grounds ticket experience is amazing. That Banyan Club is just that one step up from grounds as well.
Okay. And just a reminder that, you know, if you've got kids 15 and under, if you're buying a ticket, two of them can come in free. Is that it?
Correct. Yep. Two kids 15 and under can get in free with any adult. And, you know, we have a Kama Aina ticket as well, which is a grounds ticket, which is, you know, at a discount, obviously, if you show a Hawaiian driver's license. So we're proud to be able to have that, too. We're working on an Ohana ticket package, and we haven't released that yet for Saturday from the tournament, which should include some, you know, two tickets, which obviously your kids can get in free with you, but then also, you know, food and drink, some kind of a voucher. We're still figuring out exactly what that looks like, but kind of the traditional go to a sporting event and get two tickets and four tickets for the whole family and some food experiences for them as well. So there's going to be something there for everyone.
Yeah, and those Hawaii residents, it's $25 for Thursday and Friday, $30 for Saturday, and $45 for Sunday. And just a reminder, all of this money goes to charity. None of it is for the players. That pot is provided by Century. They put up those big numbers that these guys are playing for. All of the numbers that you heard this morning, they're all to raise money for Maui charities. They all stay, all that money stays at home. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, and we work really, yeah, of course, and we work really hard to keep that money here on the island. That's a big focus of ours. So
yeah.
We're really proud to be able to say that and do that.
And if you'd like to be an honorary observer and follow, there's an honorary observer. There's some available still. You can reach out to Alex Urban at alexurban@pgatourhq.com. I think that'd be the best way to do it. It's
yeah,
fun.
That's me.
Yeah, this is Alex Urban. You'll be in touch straight with him. And just know that you need good shoes, you know?
Yes, it's a hike.
Yeah. It's a hike.
You're a fun hike.
You're gonna get, you know, you're gonna get your, let's see, your marathon, your Ironman, your all of the things that you want to do. You're gonna be able to train for that while you're walking the plantation course. It's a whole lot of fun. Okay, and you'll learn a lot. Thank you, Alex.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to come on and talk some golf with you and all the things that we're doing at the tournament.
Yeah, and I want to thank you so much for what you did. Raising money just recently, that was really great. I'm not sure. I thought I had the figures in front of me, and I seem to have lost them. But didn't you?
No, that's okay. I was just running through them. The this year was our kind of highest year on charitable, the highest year of charitable giving that we've had at the tournament since our inception in 1999. So very, very proud to be able to say that, especially in a COVID year. You know, just something that it really makes this tournament a special thing for the island. And that's our goal, is to make it something that everyone here on Maui is proud of and everyone in Hawaii is proud of. And, you know, you get this tournament, the Sony Open, and then the Mitsubishi Electric on the Big Island. Those three tournaments really are a wonderful showcase for the island of Maui and for professional golf. So
yeah.
We're really proud to be part of that.
Yeah, and thank you, Kapalua Bay Course. You raised $1,255 for the 9/11 Memorial Golf Fund on Friday, September 10th. Thank you so much for being a part of that. It was really great to see you guys come out. All of the money raised goes into the 9/11 Memorial Fund and benefits Veteran Golfers Association, David Faraday's Troops First, the Semper Fi Americans Fund, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the Independence Fund. Thanks so much for being on the show, Alex.
Danielle, thank you so much for having me, as always, and look forward to talking with you soon.
See you soon. Okay.
All right.
Aloha.
Aloha, Danielle.
Gianna Rojas, one-handed lady golfer. She's the founder of Adaptive Golfers, a world-ranked adaptive athlete. She's with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Congratulations, La Urban. It is so cool that you called in and won from Waipahu Urban. I will send you your golf balls from Tampa Pro Shop, and you can find them at tampaproshop.com. They ship for $99 if you buy $99 worth of goods from their very great priced online store. They ship free. So there are a lot of folks in Hawaii. That's how they found us, because they had so many orders from the islands. And thank you, Brian. And thank you, Tampa Pro Shop. And thank you, Urban. We're going to talk now a little bit about some of the things that Gianna Rojas, one-handed lady golfer, has accomplished in her world. Her motto is, one person can make a difference. Everyone should try. She's founder of Adaptive Golfers, a world-ranked adaptive athlete. Gianna, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Miss Danielle. How are you, lady?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. For Gianna, no obstacle is too daunting to tackle. How did you develop that amazing mindset when you grew up as a one-handed person?
Actually, it didn't happen to me until golf. Golf actually helped me find my purpose and actually became an identity that was sleeping, I guess you could say. So it wasn't really a great journey in the beginning. It was very challenging growing up. I am of a mature age that in our society, we were taught, don't look, don't stare, don't ask questions. It would be rude. But out of the utmost, rudest, best intentions, when the little child was looking at my hand going, Mommy, Mommy, she's got a funny hand, and they tug on him and say, okay, let's turn around and walk away, I was invisible, and he didn't ask questions and answers. So it wasn't always this one-handed lady golfer. This is just golf coming out of me, and it's turned into my purpose.
That's wonderful. So let me ask you, would you have preferred it if they'd asked you about your hand?
Absolutely. It's an opportunity to... I guess, let me back up a little bit. It was hard because my father was in the Navy. We moved every 2 years, so like every military family does, I'm always the new kid, and it's different.
We're having a really difficult time understanding you because our connection isn't very good. Let's see now.
Okay.
The only thing I can suggest is either call back in or are you readjusting the phone?
I am.
Okay, that would be really helpful. Because
does that work better?
Oh, gosh, yes. That is so much better. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Let's start all over. Aloha, lady. How are you?
I'm good. And that was really powerful what you said, because I don't think very many people know what they should do. They feel so like, should I ask? Should I not ask? Is it rude? So, you know, Gianna was talking about how kids would stare and mom would say, don't stare, don't do that. Go, let's go, let's go. And that left Gianna feeling what? As an invisible person.
Yeah.
Right. And so you would have preferred it if person just said, what happened to your hand?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I have a story that I made up to kind of break the ice. He's my buddy. And it's a he. His name is Charlie. And a buddy helps you do everything. So when I talk to children, I introduce Charlie. And I did that because it separates him, my hand, from me, a female. And they can get that gender separation. But they're not afraid of me. They're just afraid of my hand, of Charlie.
Oh, but then you talk to them about how Charlie's not
bad.
Yeah,
and then I talk about how my mommy, when I was a baby and I was in my mommy's belly, my mommy got sick and my hand didn't grow all the way. But he helps me do everything, just like a buddy helps you do everything. And he helps me play golf. And that's usually how I start when I work with, we do some of our younger youth programs with 0 to 6 grade kids, and a lot of times they have cognitive challenges, and it's, believe it or not, they don't mind asking. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. I paint my little nails for them.
Wow.
It's just an icebreaker, you know? So they're not afraid of me. They're only misunderstanding what's going on with my hand, and then I want to answer their question.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, because they're really, you know, afraid because they don't understand.
I think that's where a lot of bias comes from. It's just misunderstanding and not having the information. Thankfully, our society has opened up now for everything's on the table now for discussion. Anything and everything.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, you know, it's really important. So Sandy Cross, the chief people officer at the PGA of America, asked you to bring the voice of abilities, of the diversity and inclusion training. So explain what that means.
Well, there is a lean-in, an industry lean-in from all over the golf and the media industry to this movement called Make Golf Your Thing. And it's an open invite for anyone of any diversity, no matter what ability, age, creed, color, race, economic status, any of it. It's an actual industry lean-in to invite everyone to come out and give golf a try. And, you know, especially when it comes to kids, the kids, they should try everything. And why not have golf as an activity, even if it's just a therapeutic activity?
Absolutely. I was talking to a doctor, a developmental doctor, about a child who was so afraid of letting the team down in soccer that he would melt into tears anytime he thought he was making a mistake. And so we discussed what he could do, and the doctor suggested golf. He said with golf, he's not letting anyone down, and yet he's with other people, so he'll get the social niceties down, you know, start learning that kind of interaction. and he'll be working on his own game. So there's no one to let down. And
absolutely.
I thought,
you get the physical, the sociological, and the, just, I can go all the way into saying you get the spiritual from golf.
Yes. No, it's true.
It's between you, the ball, and the hole. And the ball and the hole don't care if you roll it with your nose or even if it gets there. So ultimately, it's something that you can succeed at depending on what your potential and your expectations are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you can watch the shining face when something works.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. That's when I get my piece of my heart back that all those bullies took.
Oh, that's so, gosh. You know, don't they live with us way too long? We've got to, like, banish them. All those, yes.
Yeah.
Get out of my head. You don't live here anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why this is so important for this adaptive golfers player development program that is going to be a virtual training program, and you're hearing it live first. This is the first announcement. Because we're ready to go. It's a virtual training program to transfer the knowledge of how to work from ability out, from the student out, from the golf professional, you know, adding this to their repertoire. And a lot of times, like I just said before, you get your gift back. You know, when you have someone that didn't think they could, and you can help them do it just a different way.
Okay, it's a virtual adaptive golfers player development course.
And yes, it's actually a full immersion into not necessarily teaching you how to teach golf. You already know how to do that. It's how do you work with someone like me that shows up at your beginner's clinic and your first thing you teach is gripping and I only have one hand.
Yes, yes. So you're introducing the professional teacher, the instructors, however you phrase yourself, and you teach them how best to talk to, approach, discuss.
All of the above.
Yes.
All of it. How do you assess them? How do you assess them on what? How you're going to be able to teach them so that whatever their learning ability is fed, you know, it encompasses the different characteristics. We walk through what it's like to work with someone with autism, with cognitive challenges, with physical challenges, with how do you, what kinds of equipment is available, what kind of medical questions do I need to know before I even put a club in this person's hand, and then how do I use quantitative assessments to help see their progress. So we have a complete pathway, and this is really not just a workshop or a course, and this is not something that is new. It's just never been put into a virtual format where these teachers and the physical therapists and the rehabilitative, so this goes into the allied health and rehabilitative industry as well, that using golf on a therapy level to get people to move, get these kids outside and around each other, you know, whether it's adults or veterans. We even bring it right into the senior home and have them clear out the dining room, and we put blue tape on the floor and let the residents, we'll get them in their putting balls in the dining room. Or we'll wheel the beds outside and have the kids with all their medical equipment and the beeping going on, rolling balls from the bed.
Wow.
It's just, how can we and re-image what golf is, and how can we help people re-image what a golfer looks like so that they'll come out and join us too? They're welcome.
Wow.
So this whole package is a whole lean-in to really make a difference in making it welcoming, making the golf industry saying, come on in. We just have to make sure the industry's ready for us.
So Sandy Cross, Chief People Officer at PGA of America, she kicked this into and said, run with this ball?
Well, she invited me to the table. And this table is a whole, like I said, it's a whole industry lean-in on the diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the whole DE&I initiative is really trying to re-image what that golfer looks like, whether it's someone with a different ability, or whether it's a young person or an old person, or like I said, or a senior home.
Yeah.
It's for anybody.
Yeah, I love it. How does a PGA professional, an instructor who'd like to do this, how do they find out more?
Well, we are, you could certainly go to training.adaptivegolfers.org, and there is a sign-up form that'll be there. It's actually only the sign-in form is live now. We haven't opened up registration yet. Registration will be opening up for the preview, which will be done probably mid-November. What we plan on doing is taking that and launching it at the PGA show this year, which will be a live in-person show for 2022 at the Orange County Convention Center every year. We're a part of that. I actually asked Reed Expo if they would put together an adaptive resource center so that not just myself but other organizations and other manufacturers can come together instead of having us lost in the sea on the floor. You know, it's kind of hard to walk by our section and when you got 30 adaptive athletes with all things missing and prosthetics and hitting different ways, kind of hard to walk by without stopping and asking a question. You know, we'll be there at the show this year, but we are definitely launching live. And then it'll be a 14-week or 14-session that will be on demand once the first 14s are recorded live, because we want them to be interactive. And then from there, they'll own that material and can go back to it, say, 2 years later down the road when they have a child maybe in their group that has Asperger's and you want to look it up, remembering that you heard something about that in your class, but where are my notes? You know, it's being able to have that library to go back to as a lifetime to refer back to those best practices and those medical things that you need to be aware of, and what to do, you know, equipment-wise and modifications to equipment to make that golfer the best of whatever their potential is and whatever their expectations. And I say their expectations because as I was introduced, I had to say, wait, is she talking about me? There is a world ranking and a competitive pathway for golfers with disabilities. And it's an initiative, a global initiative from the RNA. So this is huge. This is not just here. This is not just your local community. This is something that really addresses and makes an impact on a global level and the global level of golf.
And you are a world-ranked adaptive athlete. So training.adaptivegolfers.org,
or you can just go to adaptivegolfers.org, and we can certainly get connected there as well.
Excellent, excellent.
If you're curious to see more of it, just Google one-handed lady golfer. It's okay. That's what they said when they saw me at the driving range, or they were whispering behind my back, so I just figured to get out in front of it.
I am Gianna Rojas, one-handed lady golfer. That's who I am.
There you go. That's it. There isn't another one out there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And approved education provider for LPGA. And this pulls it all together, as you wrote. Thank you so very much for being on the show. It's a pleasure talking with you. You'll have to be back
on. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, next time I'm coming live.
Okay. You'll be in Hawaii. Thank you.
Hey, wouldn't be the first time.
Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Aloha, everyone. Thank you for your time.
Coming back with Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine, coffee table books, Golf Kitchen. Plus, they had a party, and it was a third annual. We'll be back with Diana to talk all about it right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Back into the clubhouse we are, and I need to do something for our lovely FCC. We are KORLYNI Honolulu.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher and president, Golf Kitchen. It's a lifestyle semi-annual magazine. Beautiful coffee table books. You got to understand, Diana is an award-winning food photographer. She takes some fabulous photos, and she's in the middle of Manhattan. So while we had dogs barking earlier in the show, we could have horns honking during this part of the show. We're taking you live to Manhattan and Diana DeLucia. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Nice to be here with you.
It's good to have you. So you had your third annual Golf Kitchen party and gave away a lot of awards because, you know, you are amazing that you, these Culinary Excellence Awards for so many of the outstanding private golf clubs or the outstanding golf resorts, communities, to the chefs. It's quite an undertaking, and you do this almost all by yourself, don't you?
Yeah, it's just me, and I have a lot of assistance from the private clubs. Obviously, I couldn't do it without them, and, you know, it's quite an honor to have built this brand to where it is now and, you know, hopefully keep developing it into the future.
So the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards were given at Glen Arbor Golf Club in Bedford Hills. That is a really gorgeous golf club.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really fortunate to have the support of Glen Arbor Golf Club. It is an absolute stunning property. They have a great team there. As you know, Rob LeBritz is the PGA Tour and also the director of golf at Glen Arbor. But if a little unknown story is that Rob and I met in Morocco in 2015, and he really liked the Golf Kitchen brand so much at that point that he introduced me to his the owner, Morgan Gregory, the president at Glen Arbor. And, you know, we kind of developed a relationship with Golf Kitchen and Glen Arbor, and it's something I'm particularly proud of. And they do a fantastic job at putting the awards together. And this particular event was a sellout. And next year we're hoping to add a golf tournament to the event. So
it was a sellout.
In 2022, yeah.
And the people cooking, and it's always interesting saying they were cooking, you know, they're chefs de la cuisine. And, you know, it's so, but they're cooking. And that's the bottom line. Michael Ruggiero, executive chef at Glen Arbor, of course. Jason Voisel, executive chef at Naples National Golf Club. Juan Pablo de la Sota Leal, the executive chef at Royal Ponciana Golf Club in Naples. Jonathan Hancock, the executive chef, Richland Country Club in Tennessee. He came all the way out. Is that amazing?
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Actually, Jason Voisel from Naples National was unable to be there, so we had Kevin Sullivan from Innes Arden Golf Club in Greenwich, in Old Greenwich. He took over the reins from Jason. So it was an amazing dinner. Actually, my daughter told me, because she was there, and said, "Hey, Mom, this is the best one we've had yet."
Yes. Well, you know, you had the pastry chef, executive pastry chef, Marissa Hernandez, Glen Arbor also. What did she make?
She made a chocolate dessert, and I couldn't tell you because I'm in Manhattan, so I don't have it in front of me.
It's okay.
But it is on the website, and she did wow everyone. I know it had some ornate decorations on top, and people were raving about the menu. But, you know, I also have to thank,
your sommelier?
Ian J. Gallo Wines, and also Joseph Druin Wines for donating the wines for the dinner, for the cocktail hour, and I think it's Wilson Daniels donated the bubbly on entrance. So it was a really well-done event. It was very glamorous, and we spaced everything out during the night. I mean, my highlight of the night was announcing young Hannah Flora Mihajlovic's Rising Star Award. I'm particularly fond of her. Being a mum of two daughters, I'm proud of her for achieving the position of executive chef at such a young age, and she turned 29 yesterday.
Oh, and a happy birthday. I'm looking forward to having Hannah on the show. It's Hannah Flora Mihajlovic from Misner Country Club in Delray Beach, Florida. Everybody was there, and you kept it intimate, though, didn't you? Only 80 seats were sold?
Yeah, that's our cap. We won't have any more than 80 because it's too challenging when you're doing award dinners to have perfectly executed dishes when you have too many people. Plus, we need to keep it private, as like the private club industry.
Yeah, and let me ask, do you know how many people at the age of 28 or 27 when she started are executive chefs?
Not many. I do know. I think the youngest I'd met before Hannah was Anthony Marsis at Casa de Campo. And I think at the time he might have been 26, 27. That's a big property.
Yeah, it's really something. And when I don't want to talk too much without, you know, but did she grow up in the kitchen? How did she get so good so early?
She had been cooking even when she was a little child, and I do believe the story is she actually started making doggy cookies when she was probably 9-10 years old, and she was selling those, and I guess she developed an interest for cooking at that age. But you know, she's a very artistic person, very creative mind, and she's also extremely determined for one so young. It's really hard to get a position like that at, you know, even in your 20s.
Yeah.
You know, like usually you probably make executive chef after 30. I wouldn't say, you know, young 20s. So, I mean, kudos to her.
How does a young person get into the business?
Well, this is one of the issues, and I'm trying to highlight a lot more younger chefs and people in the industry. Because there's really no awareness out there that there are actual magical culinary career paths in the private golf and country club space. So we're trying to get the word out there, and Hannah's a perfect example of that. But they're really short-staffed in the clubs. They can't find enough staff. Even as far as Texas, I was speaking to Wes, who is a chef at Carlton Woods in Texas, and he was telling me, we're actually going down there in November, he was telling me that it's really hard to find staff, and I just, you know, their pay is great, they have full benefits, there's a lot more benefits than the restaurant industry with a culinary career, because, you know, you're working with the best products, they can afford better products, they can afford better wines, and, you know, it's just, we're trying to figure out how do we raise this awareness. It has to be done because there's not going to be enough people for succession plans.
And that's, yes, exactly, because, you know, this is a crazy analogy, but truck drivers all retired, and so there are no truck drivers to drive the trucks and haul the goods, and so we have a supply chain problem. It boils down to, it sounds like a big thing, the supply chain is broken. We just don't have enough people doing the jobs they used to do. And so what you're saying is we need people to be in place so they can rise up as people retire or decide to hand over the reins. And that's a really good question. How to get kids involved and get them cooking. We have a lovely culinary arts program at Kapi'olani Community College. Certainly is one place to start. And then moving from there into schools on the mainland, maybe that would be an idea.
Also, the networking opportunities alone in these private golf and country clubs just for your career path, you know, is incredible. You're building these networks of, you know, high net worth people that, you know, can, you know, help give you a leg up in your career.
Yes, regardless of whether you're the sommelier type, you know, you want to do that. But that takes years of tasting. I mean, what if you wanted to do that? Because it's your desire. I don't know. It's
I know Fernando Silva, the sommelier at Glen Arbor. He was originally waiting tables in Florida at a club in Florida when the Gregory family noticed his disposition was fabulous. They then asked that particular club if they could take him up to New York. So they actually took Fernando and brought him up to Bedford Hills, and they noticed he had a strong interest in wines, so they started sending him all over the world to different wineries and tastings, and they put him through the Master Court of Sommeliers. You know, there's so many opportunities, and now, you know, he's the wine director at Glen Arbor, the sommelier. He's an artist, but they've given him every opportunity, and, you know, I couldn't say kinder words about the Gregory family because they're such a supportive family for all their staff, and they have been for Golf Kitchen and myself as well.
Wonderful. As always, Diana, I mean, in the middle of Manhattan, I don't hear any honking horns. There was that one guy backing up.
Did you hear the cat?
No. Darn, I didn't hear the cat.
Oh, that was Lancelot, my daughter's cat.
Oh, what is the name again?
Lancelot.
Oh, that's a beautiful one. Mine's Gladius. There you go. Lancelot and Gladius should get together. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. Great to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you. Diana DeLucia, founder and editor-in-chief and publisher, Golf Kitchen, a lifestyle semi-annual magazine. Go to golfkitchen.com. Check it out, because when her new magazine comes out, it's online, and then she'll go, and then the paper version comes out, but you always want to get the one that you can feel it, and it's so beautiful. The stock is fantastic. GolfKitchen.com. All right, we want to thank the people who make this show possible every weekend. Thank you so much. MD Restoration for flood or fire disasters. You need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day. Doesn't matter, right away. If disaster strikes your home or your office, call MD Restoration. They're not only going to come in and make sure everything dries properly and there's no mold developing, they want to reduce all of that. They are licensed contractors, so they can fix things. They'll do your cleanup and they can do your repair. Their number is 528-3434. Aloha Power Equipment Sand Island store has moved. Yes, it's no longer there. It's on Alakava. Aloha Power Equipment's new megastore across from Home Depot's Evile parking structure. It's a soft opening, but they've painted it. You can't miss Aloha Power Equipment on Alakava. All right, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and a lot more. Aloha Power Equipment has it all, and at their Waipahu store as well. It is open. So is the new Aloha Power Equipment Megastore on Alakava on the Eva side, right across from the Home Depot Evile parking structure. And Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. Go there. You can see all the different styles. So when I say raised panel or recessed panel or garage house designs or flush styling with unmatched strength and durability. You'll see everything right there at HawaiiDoor.com. Or call them. It's 808-676-DOOR. Pretty simple. That's 808-676-3667. 808-676-DOOR. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And if you'd like to hear the show or a segment of it, you can go to radiogolfclub.com. It's an MP3, and you can fast forward right through it. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.